Hey, what's going on, everybody, and welcome back to The White Flag, a podcast for people trying to get off the endless treadmill of spiritual exhaustion and find rest and surrender to Jesus amidst our hurried, manic, control-obsessed world. It is so great to have you here for episode 5. I'm your host, Jonathan Moynihan. And if you are still here, you're still tuning in, man, I'm so grateful for you. So thankful that you are on this journey with me, learning what does it look like to embrace these ancient, courageous practices of just giving up with Jesus so he can transform our lives in the ways that I believe God has called us to, especially in our digital age right now. If you are tuning in here for episode 5 and you have not yet rated the show or given a review on Apple Podcasts or even subscribed to YouTube, I would love for you to do that. My heart here is not to build a large platform. It's to help people almost outgrow the platform so inevitably they can go and be still and find joy in silence and surrender. But in the process, I want more and more people to stumble into this place with us as they can connect with God and maybe some of the ways that they've realized, like we talked about in episode 1, that the bad faith formula they've been embracing is not producing the fruit Jesus promises. So if you haven't already done that, I would love for you to rate and review the show or subscribe on YouTube. I feel dirty asking that. It's like, you know, you see those guys on YouTube who are like, come in, man, don't forget to like smash that like button and click the bell and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to be like that. But I do know that we have to play the algorithm if we want to help other people find joy and rest and surrender with Jesus. So would love for you to do that. And also just want to give a quick shout out to all of you who over the last couple of weeks have reached out, some from Kansas, some from California, people from South Carolina, people I don't even know, who have found the show and found it to be really helpful and adding value to their faith. So thank you so much for tuning in and checking in with me. And if you are someone who maybe hasn't done that yet, but God has begun a work of maybe stripping away some of the performance of our faith, of your faith, and helping you really just rest in him and lean into him in a whole new way, I'd love to hear about it. You can contact me at jonathanmoynihan.com. There's the contact button, just that'll come right to me. And don't forget, you can always follow me on social as well, jonathan.moynihan on Instagram. Don't really use Facebook. Don't apologize for that. It is what it is. Okay. No TikTok though. Never TikTok. All right. But to kick off our content for today, I want to tell you a story about maybe a couple months ago. I was going away to small group, and I was kind of hopping home real quick. My wife was at an overnight. My kids were at the in-laws, and so no one was there. But I rushed in real quick, like got a bite to eat, and then I had to head off to small group on a Monday night. And when I got back, I was like in a hurry because I wanted to go hang out with a friend down the street. But when I pulled up, I was horrified because my garage door was open, right? And thankfully, like no one was inside. But like for the last 2 hours, my garage door had just been wide open. And I don't live in like a bad part of town or anything, but it's still spooky when you're like, all right, someone could have totally gotten into my house. So I walked inside, and I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but if you ever leave a door unlocked or you come in and you see like the door's partially open or something, your first thought is someone's in my house. And so I came in and I'm in a townhome, so I had to like pull back every curtain, open every closet, look at every nook and cranny, like look under the beds, all that stuff. And I had to go through my entire house to make sure like no one was inside, because I'm like, I'm getting ready to go to bed. I don't want to sleep and have someone in my house. And so I'm going around, and like at first I'm like, okay, open the door, no one's there. But for some reason, as I continued to progress through the house, my anxiety started ramping up, man. Like I was freaking out. Like it got to the point where once I got to the more like intimate spaces of our house, like the bedrooms and all that stuff, or where my girls sleep, I was like opening closet doors like, ah, you know, like I was like screaming at him, like trying to startle as if someone was there. And thank God no one was in the house, and I was just freaking out for no reason. But I went to hang out with my buddy later, and he told me like a similar story where he came home, his door was cracked open, and he's like, maybe it's the wind, but maybe somebody's in here. And he like grabbed like a hammer or something and was like going through every nook and cranny of his house, like rah, jumping out and just making sure no one was in there. And it was a really, really spooky thing, and thankfully it was fine. But what is interesting is obviously the home and what you're stepping into when you go to your house, that doesn't change. What does change is the posture as you step into that space based upon what you expect to find. So when I go into my house at the end of a normal day and I open the garage and it's all squeaky and then I go inside and I can hear like my two toddlers like running around like a herd of elephants upstairs, like super heavy footed. I'm like, okay, my posture is different. It's the same space as I went to before, but the posture is different. But when I come home and the garage door is open and I think there might be someone in the house, I'm stepping into the same space, but my posture is so different and my emotional state is so different because my expectations are different. And like what I expect to find in that space just drastically shifts how I step into it. And so I go through all that because I want to speak directly to the tension that many of us are feeling as we've begun to adopt some of these practices. I want to address the tension that some of us are feeling of, hey, am I doing this right? Like, hey, am I doing silence and solitude and Sabbath and, stepping into quiet place with God? Am I doing it right? Because I'm not experiencing what I thought I'd experience. See, here's the thing. When it comes to spiritual disciplines, these are good things from God. We are being obedient to the command of Jesus to become like him when we imitate his practices. So that's a good thing. And we're doing what the Bible teaches, which is a good thing. And when we do all these good things that God has called us to, inevitably what starts to happen is we begin to think that we are doing good things and therefore we are going to experience good things. And it makes a lot of sense. But the problem is that's not really what God promises in Scripture, and it's definitely not what Jesus experienced in his life. And so if we aren't thoughtful, if we don't take a moment to acknowledge, like, you're not doing it wrong, this is just what it is sometimes, if we don't have a conversation about it, I'm afraid that some of us who are on this journey are going to start to think either John's lying when he says that these practices lead to a life that's free and light, because I don't feel free and light, or you're going to quit because you think, I just must not be doing this right. And that's the last thing I want for anyone to do. Many of you have reached out over the last couple of weeks, not many, but enough of you have reached out over the last couple of weeks saying things like, man, I'm diving into silence and I'm learning to be quiet and I'm waking up earlier and I'm staring at a candle or, you know, just trying to withdraw and be in solitude like we talked about in episode 3. And people are adopting a posture of surrender, but they're feeling like I'm not doing it right. And when I ask why they feel that way, it's because people are stepping into this good thing that Jesus is modeling for us, but then they're coming face to face with bad stuff in their life, and it's producing like difficult internal processing. And instead of feeling completely at peace or at ease within their soul, they feel like the silence is just stirring up pain. It's stirring up guilt or anxiety that's caused by insecurity. And they're thinking, well, John said that these practices should help me experience the yoke of Jesus, a burden that is free and light, but that's not what I'm feeling right now, so I must be doing this wrong or this just must not be true. I mean, here's one of the texts I got from a friend of mine who's one of the most brilliant Christian thinkers I know, but as he's been navigating this topic and trying to get better at just calming down and resting and getting silent with God, here's what he texted me. He said, I only seem to feel strong negative emotions during my silent time. It's like poison, he said. He said, quote, it's like sucking venom from an open wound. It always hurts and it's always dark. I've tried journaling gratitude, but it just won't come out. And I know that many of us who embark on this journey of courageous surrender, who want the white flag to be a symbol of your posture before Jesus, some of you are taking time to sit with him, but right now you don't feel more at peace. You're actually more aware of your problems. And you're left thinking, I just must not be doing this right. But I want to encourage you right now, and I want to unpack something very briefly that's been so helpful for me, even as I step into these ancient practices and navigate insecurity and, you know, stewing on past sin or past mistakes or second-guessing myself or just not being sure, like, am I doing anything productive in this time with God? It just feels like I'm quiet, nothing's happening. But I want to unpack something that we all are going to wrestle with as we go through this, and I want to call out the lie of the devil that's going to make many people quit if they don't realize like this is just part of the journey. Because there's something about Jesus's life and what he experienced that actually should comfort all of us as we grow in our ability to give up and surrender to Jesus. In episode 3, we left off with Jesus getting baptized. And then the very next thing he did was he headed off into the wilderness. And I read this verse, it's Luke 4, verse 1. Said, then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned to the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. And as we discussed in that episode, we talked about the importance of getting away from the day and how even as Jesus became increasingly influential the more he withdrew. And so that must be true for you and I if we're going to rest and walk with him and carry, you know, the burdens that he wants us to, but not carry the stuff he doesn't want us to. And that was great. But here's what happens next for Jesus that I can't emphasize enough that helps comfort you and me when we feel like we're doing it wrong. In Luke 4, verse 1, it says, "Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River, and he was led by the Spirit in the wilderness." That's not new information for you. But look at what happens next in verse 2. It's the same sentence, just a new verse. It says, "He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. Listen, many of us are shocked when we go into the quiet with God, because we expect to bask in God's peace and in his presence. And those are certainly things that he gives us when we make these rhythmic practices of our faith a huge part of our life. But what we get in the immediate sometimes, instead of experiencing that peace and that rest and that presence, what we find instead is the devil. What we find instead is evil within us, sin within us, all our fears, all our anger, all our insecurity, all the sources of shame that we numb daily with digital entertainment and distraction, all of that comes to the surface. And when we take away the distractions of our world and we just sit and withdraw to be with God and sit in silence, the obsessive thoughts that we have deep beneath the surface all start to make their way onto the horizon of our cognitive thought. But what can happen is you step into a space hoping you're connecting with God, but what it feels like is you're actually encountering the devil in the desert. So we need to see that when Jesus withdrew and modeled for us this practice of getting away from the day, the very first time we see him do it in the book of Luke, he doesn't actually just encounter God and rest with him. He also encounters evil incarnate. He has to navigate that. And listen, this comforts me because if Jesus himself withdrew and had to face evil incarnate, that means I'm doing okay if I step into these practices that Jesus modeled and I too have to face evil in my own life. Henry Nouwen is a Dutch priest. I've talked about him in at least one other episode, but here's what he says about this tension that we have to navigate. And it's something that encourages me to help me realize, okay, I'm not doing it wrong when it just gets messy, or I feel like I'm not more at peace right now. I'm actually facing all the problems in my life. But here's what he says. Henry Nouwen writes, "Solitude is not a private therapeutic place. Rather, it is the place of conversion. The place where the old self dies and the new self is born. In solitude, I get rid of my scaffolding, no friends to talk with, no telephone calls to make, no meetings to attend, no music to entertain, no books to distract, just me, naked, vulnerable, weak, sinful, deprived, and broken. Nothing. It is this nothingness that I have to face in my solitude. A nothingness so dreadful that everything in me wants to run to my friends, my work, my distractions, so that I can forget my nothingness and make myself believe that I am worth something. I try to run from the dark abyss of my nothingness and restore my false self and all of its vainglory. The task is to persevere in my solitude, to stay in my cell until all my seductive visitors get tired of pounding on my door and leave me alone. The struggle is real because the danger is real. It is the danger of living the whole of our life as one long defense against the reality of our condition." Ooh. Oh, it's too real. It hurts. Man, that is so good. But listen, he just articulated what I feel and what I know many of you feel of, man, solitude isn't just this, oh, I'm going to rest and be calm and have blissful meditative space. No, it's a battle. It is a place of tension sometimes. And if that's what you feel when you've been stepping into this, I want you to hear me. You're not doing it wrong. This is part of the journey. This is part of the battle. And when we begin to adopt these practices of surrender, we have to understand that sometimes when you withdraw from the world to connect with God, before you can even rest in him, you have to face the darkness in yourself. Silence is when these unaddressed, unwanted, and uncomfortable thought patterns come to the surface. And what I want you to hear from me today is that that's a good thing. Because only by facing them and bringing them to your Heavenly Father and pouring into his word in faithful reflection, only by doing all these things, can you ever begin to identify and articulate and even name the things that Jesus wants to transform in your life. So at the church where I serve as a teaching minister, Mosaic Christian Church, outside of Baltimore, shout out, what's up, my fam? We had one of our favorite guest preachers recently named Jim Bergen, and he did a sermon where he basically highlighted this phrase that's kind of famous in history where it says, if you want peace, prepare for war. And I think that's actually a really brilliant summary of what we have to embrace if we're going to step into courageous surrender. That before we experience rest and the peace of Christ, we're going to have to face the evil that is within us. The sin that is within us, the ramifications of evil and sin in our world, either things that we've caused or things that have been done to us. But you won't ever experience peace and solitude if you don't address the things that you're afraid to face. You're not going to find a burden of Jesus that is free and light if you take the abuse that you were a victim of and you put it on a shelf and don't bring it into that space with God. You're not going to feel free and light if you aren't willing to bring your anxiety to the surface, if you don't call out the betrayal that you're carrying or the deception that you're continuing or the neglect that you were a victim of or the isolation you still find yourself in. Like, you're never going to see God transform those things in your life if you don't bring them to the surface, because inevitably you're going to quit the ancient practices before God even has a chance to restore the broken parts of yourself. We have to bring these things to the surface and realize that in order to experience the peace of Jesus, we almost have to prepare for the war within ourselves. And solitude is that arena where we put ourselves out there and say, God, go to work. And I'm going to meet you here. And I'm going to trust that I'm not doing it wrong, even though I don't like what I'm feeling right now. See, the white flag is all about surrender. But to get to this blissful, wonderful, restorative place of surrender, we have to understand there's a conflict within your own soul that you have to bring to God. And when it gets messy, when it gets dark, when it gets scary within yourself, you are actually in good company because you're experiencing what Jesus experienced. He too went through this. He had to face evil head on when he withdrew. And so when you are feeling internal chaos, or when you step into a time with God and you're silent and you're not sure if anything good is happening, please trust, you're actually being like Christ because you're facing the dark, you're facing the evil, you're facing sin, and you're saying, Jesus, you're my only hope. You're the one I trust. Let's have you go to work in me in this time. And I think understanding this, that when Jesus withdrew, he faced the devil. So when we withdraw, we shouldn't be surprised when nasty stuff comes up within ourselves. This makes passages like Hebrews 4:15 even more relatable to me. Because Hebrews 4:15 says, the high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings we do. And I'm like, yes, he did. Like, that's not just lip service. He genuinely did. He knows exactly what it's like to try to step into this space and not know what's going on and not know, am I doing this right? And not know. I mean, he obviously knows what he's doing, but you know what I mean? It's just so comforting to know that, like, our Savior is not obtuse to the tension you and I are navigating. It's so good. So understanding all of this, here's what I want to do for our homework today. Sometimes I think I'm addicted to the book of Psalms because I'll be in a Bible plan, but then sometimes I'm like, man, I don't want to read that. I'm going to go back to reading the Psalms because I just think nothing speaks to my human condition more than the raw, vulnerable, unbelievably relatable and approachable work of the Psalms. Like, it gives a language to the burdens of my heart and the angst I feel and the fear and my failure and forgetfulness, all of that. The Psalms are brilliant. So here's what I want to do for the homework. I want to read Psalm 39 and just a couple verses from it. And I just want to highlight how relatable this is and then give you time to reflect on it. So Psalm 39, it's a Psalm of David. It says, I said to myself, I will watch what I do and not sin in what I say. I will hold my tongue when the ungodly are around me. But as I stood there in silence, so please note, David is trying to be quiet before God. It says, but as I stood there in silence, not even speaking of good things, the turmoil within me grew worse. The more I thought about it, the hotter I got, igniting a fire of words. So here, David is like trying to be silent before God, but the longer he stays quiet, the more like upset he gets. Anyone else can relate? Yes? Okay. In verse 4, though, he says, Lord, in response to this internal restlessness, this chaos he's feeling, he wants to be silent before God, but then you know, there's a fire of words within him. Look at what he says in verse 4. In response to this, he says, Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. You have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you. At best, each of us is but a breath. We are merely moving shadows, and all our busy rushing ends in nothing. We heap up wealth, not knowing who will spend it. And so, Lord, where do I put my hope? My only hope is in you. Rescue me from my rebellion. Don't let fools mock me. I am silent before you. I won't say a word. The Psalms, man. The Psalms are incredible. They're so relatable. I mean, like, that gives language to what we feel. It's like, it takes us through that whole process of, man, I'm trying to be silent with God, but all this, like, turmoil is stirring up within me. And then it's like, oh, in maturity, I understand. I am nothing. My God is everything. My hope is in him because he is above all things. No thing I bring to the table is too big for him. So I'm going to rest in him and say, Lord, help rescue me from my own rebellion. I'm going to stay silent before you. I'm not going to say a word. Oh, man, come on, somebody. That is so, so good. So here's what I'd like to do in response to Psalm 39. And in response to all of this, just understanding that God will bring peace, but we're going to have to go through some war within ourselves to get there. Here's what I want to do. I want to give you 3 minutes right here on the show with some light music to just reflect on the emotions and thoughts that get stirred up when you step into silence with God. I want to give you a mini taste of that desert that Jesus withdrew to be in. And with Psalm 39 ringing in our heads, I want you to have a time of silence where you can let some of that stuff stir up. And obviously, some of you might need more time. But we let that silence stir up, and you remind yourself that your hope is in the Lord, that you're not doing it wrong, that he has not distanced himself from you. In fact, it might be a sign that God is drawing near to you because he wants to go to work on the things in your soul that you've tried to hide from him. So I want to challenge you to do that now, to bring everything we have, knowing that sometimes we'll feel peace and rest in our time with God, but then other times we're going to feel like Jesus in the desert. But no matter what you feel, we can be encouraged because we know the one who has us, who holds us, who knows our wounds better than us, and who can heal our wounds in ways we don't even know to pray for. So I'm going to read over the psalm one more time, and I'm going to give you 3 minutes of silence to bring that which you don't want to face into the fray, into the space with Jesus, and say, God, help me pursue peace, but I'm allowing you in this time now to go to war within me so I can abide in you, rest in you, and be transformed by you. Here's Psalm 39 one more time. I said to myself, I will watch what I do and not sin in what I say. I will hold my tongue when the ungodly are around me. But as I stood there in silence, not even speaking of good things, the turmoil within me grew worse. The more I thought about it, the hotter I got, igniting a fire of words. Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. You have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you. At best, each of us is but a breath. We are merely moving shadows, and all our busy rushing ends in nothing. We heap up wealth, not knowing who will spend it. And so, Lord, where do I put my hope? My only hope is in you. Rescue me from my rebellion. Don't let fools mock me. I am silent before you. I won't say a word. Hey, if you did the homework, man, so grateful for you, so proud of you. I know that it's not a comfortable thing. Some of you went by like that. Some of you, it probably felt like forever. Some of you grabbed your phone just to pass the time, but this is where the rubber meets the road. And it's where we really have a chance to sort of like toughen ourselves up to give up and rest with Jesus. With it being episode 5, once again, if you have not yet rated and reviewed the show, I'd love for you to do that. And even more so, like I say every time, if you are in the Baltimore, Maryland, or just DMV area, I'd love for you to come through at Mosaic Christian Church. You can get our website, mosaicchristian.org. We have 2 services on Sundays at 9:30 and 11:15. I would love to say hello, love to have you join us and be a part of this community that is changing Maryland forever. Hope you're well, and I'll see you again next week.